Blog Talk Radio.
Dig it!
Welcome to the Atomic Drop Show, live on Blog Talk Radio, your number one source for wrestling news, interviews, and analysis.
You better listen to this.
Hey everybody, this is Sunny, the original diva of the WWE, and you're listening to the Atomic Drop Show. Don't go away.
This is the slasher, the slicer, the dicer, the ripper, the sweater, the love taker, the money maker, the honey shaker. God.
My name is Lauren Brooks, the past interviewer for TNA Wrestling, and you are listening to the Atomic Drop Show.
You can be part of the show by calling in at area code 646-915-9116.
The Rock Superstar Chaos.
Sid Vicious.
Chris Hammer.
The Hardcore Homo Angel.
This is Jimmy Jacobs, and you're listening to the Atomic Drop Radio Show.
Keep your money here, Revenant, on Atomic Drop Show. Tune in.
And now, here are your hosts, Justin Todd and Kyle Crew.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Atomic Drop Show. You know what? Just in case you've been listening to the show for the past couple weeks and you don't recognize his voice, please get reaccustomed to it because you are listening to the original co-host of the Atomic Drop Show, Kyle Crews, making a triumphant return. And when I do, of course, my little flick of a co-host, Justin Thomas, is not here. So filling in his place is the confident, capable, talented Todd Orndorff. Todd, how's it going tonight, buddy?
I am doing wonderful. And make sure you copy, you make a copy of that beautiful introduction because I think it's 10 times better than Sir Justin Tyne gives me. I am the Todd Orndorff. I'm very thankful to be here again. Great time on the Atomic Drop Show. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am doing fantastic, man. You know what? It feels good to be back in the host chair once again. Now, you know what? Like how I was telling you off the air, you and Justin have some pretty good shows. I like how you do it, but, you know, Justin, I feel that he's not holding up his end of the bargain, so I thought that I should have, slide in there, take a spot for just one weekend, you know, see how you and I mesh together. Honestly, though, before I move any further, I have to thank you for filling in these last couple of weeks. Now, that said, I got to grill you, though, because that game that I went to last week, of course, my first ever NBA playoff game where I saw the Los Angeles Lakers, I saw them beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, and of course, I'm not trying to make a correlation, but I'm just saying the last game that I went to is the last game that the Lakers won. So maybe I'm a good luck charm. I mean, you know what? Maybe I should be on my way to Staples Center right now because it seems like I am their good luck charm as apparently all – I guess the series is all tied up 2-2 and the game starts in about an hour and a half. So I tell you what. Come me a deal. We can do a show in 30 minutes. Then I could just leave my house right now and I could go down to Staples Center and watch game 5, all right? Is that a deal?
First of all, wait a second.
Yes.
Is this show, are you going to do a whole spiel on the Los Angeles Lakers like Sir Justin Time goes off about David Hasselhoff and Knight Rider? Because if it is, have fun doing your show.
No. Trust me, I am not one of those guys that will go off rambling and spouting off at the mouth about something totally not wrestling related. Now, something might piss me off so much that I might go on a rant, but it'll at least be wrestling related. Trust me, I will not try to shove the greatest sports franchise in sports history down your throat because everybody honestly knows how great they are.
Wait a second. Whoa.
That's all I'm saying.
Sports franchise?
Yes.
Wait a second. Are you talking all sports here?
All sports.
Well, let me remind you that in the year 2009, my New York Yankees won their 27th championship.
Hold on a second. The New York Yankees, correction, they bought their 27th World Series. That's what they did. They bought that championship. Just like they bought every single other championship that they've won, they bought it.
Wait a second. Did you know? You know, everyone goes on about that, you know, they buy championships. Did you know that they're not even the richest team in baseball. Our owner is not even in the top 10 richest owners. So really, our owners are doing what it takes to get the job done. The Washington Nationals are the richest team in the major leagues, and look where they're at. So
yeah,
the Steinbrenners, they know what they're doing. The Lakers, maybe I'll put them top 10.
Oh, top 10?
All right, that's a little steep. That's a little steep. I know.
No. You got to throw them in there. You know what? I will give you the Yankees as a top 3. Lakers are number 1. Yankees are probably number 2. And then, of course, after those two teams, there's just a severe drop-off. Oh, I have a number 3. The number 3, the Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Yankees. Don't ever make that mistake on the phone with me again.
You know what? That was a Freudian slip. That's my bad. Sorry. The Boston Red Sox, my friend Dan's going to kill me. Yes, the Boston Red – they're probably the number 3 franchise. I don't know. Or maybe the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, that's them. The Philadelphia Eagles. That's the number 3 franchise in sports history.
Oh, gosh. You're getting to be as bad as Sir Dustin Dime.
Hey, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. But, guys, just in case you're still hanging on here, this is the wrestling show. And if you want to be part of the show, talk about what happened last night on the WWE Draft and TNA Impact, you can call us up at area code 646-915-9116. Once again, the number is area code 646-915-9116. I'm joined once again by the talented Todd Orndorff from the PWH Pro Wrestling Hour. And before I go any further as well, do you already have a topic picked out for this Thursday show?
I was thinking about it, you know, and normally at the end of my shows, like at the very end, I'll announce what my next one is. I'm throwing around a few ideas, not exactly sure what I want to do yet, but the one I'm really excited about, which will be done, I want to do a 10-week top 10 series. So I got probably 2 weeks left, and I'm probably going to do, since I love the history of wrestling, probably the top 10 wrestling territories.
Ooh.
That's
you
big time.
The top 10 wrestling territories. Wow. That's a good topic. I'm just going to throw one out there. I'm going to say Texas. That's probably the number 1.
I love WCCW, my friend. I love
World
it.
Class,
if you've ever seen Tragedy and Triumph of WCCW, it's a phenomenal phenomenal DVD. Now, if you guys haven't seen it out there, go get it. I'm telling you, they do a great job with it. They really do. And that was a promotion. You know, it showed how high somebody could go in such a short period of time, and then the next day it all falls. It's a great story. It really is.
I was going to make a joke right there about Kerry Von Erich, but I'm just going to steer clear of that.
Oh, dude, I love Kerry Von Erich. Come on.
No, dude, I do too, man. I won't talk bad about the Texas Tornado. Dude. I'm sorry, man. That's why I didn't say the joke. Because I have respect for the Von Erich family. I really do.
Dude, the discus punch is like one of the coolest moves around, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? It was so good that DDP stole it.
Yeah, well, DDP's no Kerry Von Erich.
Kerry Von Erich's no DDP. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Once again, people, we're coming off of another night of the so-called Monday Night Wars, if you still want to call it that, which it's not. And the ratings are in. I saw this just a few minutes ago. The ratings are in, and they're not pretty for TNA. WWE Raw scored a 3.3 rating, which has kind of been their average for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks or so. Impact has drawn a record low rating since going to Monday Night, and I think it's lowest in, it has to be at least 3 years. They drew, get this, dude, a 0.5.
No way.
Now, this is a report according to Dave Meltzer at the Wrestling Observer, so I'm not sure you know, this could be preliminary. We might get some updated numbers as the show continues, but that is what the word is now, 3.3 and a 0.5 for impact. Now, once again, I don't blindly love TNA. I think that their product has some flaws. I'm not a blind WWE hater or a blind WWE lover either, but TNA did have an excuse that the draft was 3 hours, so Raw took over. It basically encompassed their entire show. So that's the only excuse that they have, but they have to be disappointed with the consistently low ratings that they've been drawing. But I know you said that you did not catch any wrestling last night. Is that correct?
I didn't catch a single second of Monday Night Raw. I'm obviously not going to watch TNA, not a TNA fan. But I had some things. Last night, and I was unable to watch any of Raw. But WWE.com said that the Hart Dynasty is the new Unified Tag Champions. Thank you. Phenomenal tag team, Hart Family Lover for Life. That makes me extremely happy. But no, I did not get to see any of it.
You know, man, I don't know where to start with what you just said. Obviously, the Hart Dynasty winning the tag team championship, that's the biggest deal. And a huge thing there is that the crowd popped big for it. I don't know if you go out of your way to watch it on WWE.com or on YouTube or something, but the crowd was very, very, very hot, very into the title change. And right after that matchup, the Big Show delivered a knockout punch to the Miz, and it turned out that the Big Show went over to SmackDown along with, I believe it was what, five people, maybe four or five picks. I have the list in front of me. Let's go down the list real quick of the people that were drafted last night, and just tell me one by one whether you think, just in quick fashion, whether you think that these draft picks to SmackDown are going to make a lick of difference compared to what they lost. Number one, Kelly was drafted to SmackDown.
I don't think that's going to do squat.
The Big Show was drafted to SmackDown.
I personally think Big Show is completely overrated. He's I hate watching him in the ring. So slow. You know, I understand his size. I understand he's had nagging injuries for years, but he doesn't do anything for me, and I don't think he's going to do very much for SmackDown.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Yeah, he's big and he's pretty slow. Let me ask you something, though. Are you a fan of The Undertaker?
I'm a fan, yeah.
All right, so what's the difference? Since you named the same characteristics in the Big Show that The Undertaker has, what's different about The Undertaker compared to the Big Show? I'm not trying to start an argument, but I'm just asking.
No, it's cool. If you think about it, if you go around and ask people, you know, who's The Undertaker, and then you go around and ask people, well, who's the Big Show? The Undertaker is so much more well established, and you can't throw out the fact that he's the best pure striker ever in the WWE. Yeah, you know, if you watch WrestleMania, his match with Michaels, and then you watch the Showman's match, it's completely on another level, man.
Well, I think that that's an unfair comparison.
Although you're always as good as the person you're dancing with.
And you don't think that ever since the Big Show joined the Fed, 11 years ago, that he hasn't had any worthwhile feuds or dance partners, as you say?
Yes, he has, but I think he's completely past his prime. And I think The Undertaker is still competing at a dominant level. You know, he just, you know, it takes the whole package. Like, The Undertaker's entrance, you know, it still gives me chills, and I know it's going to happen. It's been going on for years and years and years. But then, you know, you get the Big Show who, I don't know. There's just something about him I just don't like and never have.
Valid points. Then I will just let go. I will let it roll off of my back because I don't want to start arguing yet because it's still early on in the show. Two more picks, and then we'll go to our first caller. Just real quick, Christian, which after the SmackDown, will he make an impact?
I think he will. I don't think he's he'll be a top star down there. I don't think he's quite main event level for the A show, but I think for the B show SmackDown, I think he's actually going to do very well.
And then also somebody that a lot of people said should have been a main eventer after this hot feud at the end of 2009, Kofi Kingston, which after this match, do you think that he will make an impact down there on the blue end?
I think he got a good push for a while, and then I think they misused him on Raw, but I think here on SmackDown, they're going to try to rebuild the character who is Kofi Kingston, and I think he'll get a stronger push on SmackDown than what he was on Raw.
Fair enough. We'll run down the Raw draft picks in just a minute. But we have our first caller. It's from the 585 area code. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this? Say your name and where you're from.
Hello, my name is Jenny.
Hello, Jenny.
Oh, man.
How are you doing, Jenny?
I'm doing very well. How are you boys doing tonight?
I could be better. In fact, I will be better once you're off the phone, but what do you have for us tonight?
I'm just calling in. I just want to let you know that I think your new co-host right there is pretty sexy. He's a lot more talented than Justin Time, I must admit.
He's a little bit more talented than what?
He's a little bit more exciting than Justin Time. I just tune in and listen to you. If I tune into the PWH constantly, I just hardly ever call in.
Wait, so
I
basically
really
what you're saying is... Wait. So, Jenny, what you're saying is that you basically stalk Mr. Todd Orndorff from afar. You don't talk to him. Isn't it just a coincidence that the one time that you actually call in to talk to Todd... Is when he's not even on his own show.
Untrue, because I also listened to you guys first, but then once you promoted to PWH and I heard about him, I became a mega fan. And I know he has a girlfriend, but I think me and him would make a beautiful couple together.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, Kyle Cruz, I got an idea. Why don't we take this guy, I'll be Hawk, you be Animal, put him on your shoulders and we give him the Doomsday Device. What do you say?
Only if we can follow that by the heart attack, then I'd be all for it.
I'm game.
Jenny, do you have anything else for us tonight?
Actually, yes, I do.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Atomic Drop Show, Justin Time, along with his little, I don't know, plaything, Jenny.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I have returned once more and once again to host for about 10 minutes the Atomic Drop Show.
Welcome
now,
back.
Lovely.
Why, thank you. Thank you for bailing me out, Mr. Orndorff.
Not a problem.
It's always a pleasure and honor to be bailed out by someone who has just as high standards as I do. I'm like Kyle.
What? What are you talking about?
Now, let me tell you something really quick. I need to argue.
Ah, jeez.
I listened to the whole Undertaker Big Show thing.
Bring it on, Justin.
Okay.
Come on. What you got for me?
Now, we were going about being slow right here, right? About Undertaker being slow compared to the Big Show being slow and how supposedly their wrestling moves are almost kind of the same.
For the most part.
But have you ever seen the Big Show go to the top rope and do like a flying clothesline or walk the top rope or fly over the top rope? I mean, the Undertaker still walks around and plays like a large lucha libre regardless, but I know you won't see him ever do a Hurricanrana. But regardless, you never see the Big Show go for any of the high big move spots. All he does is go, choke slam, and then that is it.
Okay, yeah, fine. The Big Show at 7 foot whatever and 500 pounds, you know, you don't expect to see... No. I'll tell you this. With The Undertaker, at 7 feet, 320 pounds, yeah, you don't expect to see that. But it's at least feasible for him to do that. Come on. If the Big Show really tried to do that, how quickly would that light in your head go off saying, okay, this can't, like, this has to be fake. Like, this can't be real. Because it's not possible for
it. Well, that's because they never established him as ever doing that. I mean, if he was smarter in his career, that he would do all this top rope stuff, then it would still be believable. But since he's getting older, and like you said, he's been in wrestling for 15 plus years or whatever it was, it's not even established that he can be a top rope competitor. Unlike The Undertaker, who first came in and started doing all these top rope moves. It falls on the shoulders of the Big Show.
Well, wait a minute. It's not necessarily the Big Show's fault, okay? Because back when he was a giant in WCW back in, like, what, 1995, they billed him as, and this was one of those terrible gimmicks, they billed him as, like, Andre the Giant's son or whatever. Whatever the gimmick was, it was pretty bad. And so you saw that, and of course they're not going to have somebody billed as Andre's son doing flips and walking the top rope and doing hurricanranas and doing – that's not going to happen. So I don't know, man. It's just different.
Are these two guys even really compatible? Because honestly, you know, just like you guys are talking about, they have two different styles. They're both huge. Like, one's a striker, one's more, I don't know, slow. That's the only way I can think about it. But their styles are so completely different. Is this even a fair argument?
That's a very, very, very good point. So I will give up the fight. I will concede the fight. I'm not wrong. That's really bad. I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong. We just have two differences of opinion right here.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of course.
Which is always what this show is about.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now, I have a question. Now, this is also up for a debate, too, that I have been wanting to ask for a few months now, actually.
Go for it.
Okay. This revolves around Hulky Hogan.
Around who?
About Hulk Hogan. Hulky the Hulk Hogan. Now, he has now been a very well-established pain in the ass for Vince McMahon, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
All right. Now, do you think back during the 80s and whatnot, when Vince actually hired him, and now knowing what he has done now, do you think Vince would have actually hired Hulk Hogan back in the 80s if he knew that he was going to be this much of a pain in the ass?
Todd, I'm going to let you feel that question.
Oh, this is your show, man. is this before he knows the kind of money that he would bring in?
Yes, and he also knew that he was going to, like, jump around and be a complete ass to him, too, and stab him in the back all these constant times.
Well, if you go back in time prior to Vince McMahon signing him for a second time before he got fired in 81, he was extremely well-established in the AWA. Drawing big money, world title matches everywhere. So I think he would be incredibly stupid not to take their top draw, you know, and take the chance with him because, you know, if it's going to bring Vince money, knowing that he was well established in another high profile promotion, you know, why would he not take him? So I believe he would have. I believe he should.
I actually agree. I'm very, very surprised with this, but I'm going to agree with everything that Todd said.
Thank you.
All right,
what's
fair
your
enough.
Take on this, Sir Justin Time? I want your opinion.
I would have to also agree to a certain extent.
Ooh.
to where Vince should have put, like, somewhere in his contract or at least, like, a lawsuit stating that how Hogan should ever be bashed against Vince McMahon in the WWE.
Okay.
I mean, kind of like a court order, so to speak. I mean, because that would easily have made Vince a lot more happier, too, in my personal opinion. Knowing that he's not sitting right there calling us competition on the other Monday night show is, like, boring and repetitive and whatnot, which also goes to the ratings that TNA did, which was 0.5 compared to their Megabuster last week with 1.0.
Yeah, but think about it like this, though. These guys are independent contractors. He signs that deal. You know, what if Vince McMahon does something that completely humiliates him, puts him in bad storylines, doesn't build him up, and then, you know, he has that, he jumps ship somewhere else, and then, you know, he gets screwed. His character is already, it's already destroyed at that point. So I would never sign a deal like that. Never, because if he holds a grudge against you, does something against you, then, you know, then your character, everything that you've worked your entire life to build up, would be completely gone. I would never sign a deal like that.
Well, then you should be able to keep your name and prestige in honor and top condition and honor the following contract obligations that have been presented for you instead of talking bad about the company. So if you stay on the good side, of course you're going to keep all the names and royalties because you're doing your job correctly.
That is a good point. But still, you know, is Vince McMahon, you know, like, is he trustworthy? Are you able to trust him? You know, like, look what he did with Bret Hart. Look what he did with Bret Hart.
Point taken, but then again, like you said, if you fulfill everything in your contract negotiations, and you are perhaps the biggest name in professional wrestling, i.e. Hulk Hogan, then you should have nothing to worry about, because if you ever notice, Vince never did anything bad to Hogan. True.
He did give him the Mr. America.
Well, yeah,
that
was okay.
Bad.
Well, you know, you can only get so far.
Yeah, that is true.
All right.
Hey,
but
Justin.
Yes.
We actually have another three callers on the line, buddy. So you have anything else for us tonight?
No. I just wanted to come in and host my show for about 10 minutes. That's all.
I understand. I know the feeling. And you know what? Hopefully you and your work commitments will be somewhat entertaining and enjoyable. Of course, nothing can be as enjoyable and entertaining as when I skipped out on the show last week to watch the Laker game. But
and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that.
Well,
you need to add another one.
Hold on a second.
The week before that.
Wait, the week before the Laker game, I had the same work commitments that you did, all right? The week before that, I called in like the last half hour. So don't even start that tripe, all right?
And the week before that.
See, now wait, I did that show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was a show after WrestleMania, and for the first half of it, I did it all by myself. So who's skipping out?
Hey, at least I called in.
What?
At least I called in, even though I said I wasn't going to call in.
Well, then you shouldn't have called in.
Well, I called in, because I like you guys, and you guys are my friends.
Aww.
Aww.
Thanks, man. You're my friend, too.
I know,
too.
It's just love fest. Yeah. Friends, love, all that good stuff. But, dude, we got to go, man. Justin,
all right.
It's been a blast. Hopefully you will be back in the host chair next week.
I will be back, ladies and gentlemen.
And we all cannot wait.
And make sure you tune into PWH, too, and steelcageradio.com. See ya.
You know what? I'm actually glad that he mentioned that, because actually our next guest or our next caller is one of the hosts of Steel Cage Radio. It is a podcast based here out of Southern California. They cover the independent scene in SoCal, and they cover some Ring of Honor, a little bit of TNA, and a little bit of WWE as well. This is Degenerate John, right? Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Looks like we have some technical difficulties there. John, if you can call back, then hopefully we can get you on the air. We have some technical difficulties there. So just try calling back, and we'll see if we can get you on. Now we will go to, once again, the 585 area code, and that's going to be our good buddy, Jimmy Z. Jimmy, how's it going tonight?
What's happening, baby?
Nothing much, bro. Man, dude, it's been way too long, man. It's been a while, man. How have you been?
Good, you know, just busy, you know, taking care of business. TCB is like what I like to call it.
Exactly, man. How's the business going?
Good, man. Good. They're waiting in line, and they're buying food, so.
Wait, so shouldn't you, like, you know, be working instead of, you know, calling in to the show? I mean, dude, by all means, thank you for the support. But
They're not waiting in line. They're not waiting in line right now. That's Friday and Saturday, like between 1:30 in the morning and 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. That 1 hour is pretty solid. You know, cram them in, wait outside till people walk out, people walk in, yada yada yada.
Oh, one thing too. In July, I am making my first ever trip out to. Out to New York, and
I heard that. I'm gonna have entrance music for you when you walk in the building.
Well, what entrance music do you have picked out, man? I need a song. What you got picked out for me?
What's that?
What do you have picked out for me, man?
How about this? Wear black with a little bit of white and carry around a spray can bottle.
Wear black, white, and carry around a spray can bottle.
That's brutal, man.
Some spray paint, some black spray paint, carry around with you.
I'm not exactly sure what to make of that.
You don't get the clue. Black with a little bit of white, and make sure you have a black painted spray can bottle with you.
See, I'm a Wolfpack guy, so you know, I could.
I guess I'm not scoring very well over here now, am I?
No, it's okay.
Well, I could always give you Macho Man's original music.
Well, yeah, funky like the. Yeah, I can't do that. I will leave the impressions to our superfan, the Cars. Jimmy, what you got for us tonight?
Can you explain to me what you guys just talking about as far as Hogan and all that, like the AWA draw, I was hearing bits and pieces because I was trying to listen to the show and I was trying to pay attention to my mother because I'm visiting my mom, and you know it's a close call over there, so I had to listen to her at the same time as I was listening to you. Now, what was the topic about as far as Vince and Hogan and when they signed them? Like can you give me like a little refreshment there?
Todd?
Basically, Sir Justin Timer called in and said, you know, Hulk Hogan with his bad rap that he has going on now with TNA and everything, he basically wanted to know if Vince McMahon knew about this before he originally signed him for the second time in 83, in late 83, if he would re-sign him knowing that he could cause problems the way that he has. And I said, you know, he was a huge draw in the AWA, huge draw. And so therefore, if he's drawing money over there and Vince is all about making money, you know, why would you not take the chance on getting somebody else's top draw who's already well established at that point and bring him on over and take the chance of him taking your company to new heights?
Signing Hogan?
Yes.
Well, didn't he sign? Isn't that what he did? He took AWA's highest draw and he brought him in?
Yeah, and Sir Justin Time was asking, though, with his attitude problems now, if he would rethink signing him with that attitude.
Well, what do you consider Hogan's attitude now?
Oh, yeah. Sir Justin Time said he was, you know, if I am correct here, Kyle Cruz, please correct me if I'm wrong, that he said that he was bad-mouthing the WWE and Vince McMahon. Is that correct?
You mean on TNA?
I believe that's, yeah.
He wasn't doing it by name, per se, and I never read anything much more into it being a personal attack rather than he's just trying to put TNA on the map. That's all I fought for.
Well, basically what TNA is doing right now is the same strategy they had when the Nitro came out. WCW didn't take any low blows towards McMahon until Nitro aired, and not even just until Nitro aired, but really I think it was more towards actually it was from the beginning. It started off with Lex Luger showing up the night after SummerSlam. Then it was Medusa. And then But I think and then telling everybody what happens on Raw since it was taped. The thing about it is, see, McMahon won't take low blows because he doesn't need to. Okay.
Exactly.
The only negative part about that Hogan himself has said this whole time, and I've missed a couple episodes, but I've seen most of them. Is someone had a sign up that said Vince? I think Vince fears Hogan or something like that. And what happened was with his left hand he pointed at the sign, and with his right hand he did a crotch chop. Is the only thing I remember him doing since he got there. And Bischoff had they did the whole referee thing towards the beginning of the Hogan era on TNA, the whole screw job with Hebner, and they reenacted that. And then Bischoff once was like, it was the scene was him talking on his cell phone and saying, "Who would be stupid? What you mean you want to start a league that goes against the NFL? Who's dumb enough to do something like that?" And then the segment went off. So they have taken some low blows at the whole thing, but I don't think it's anything. I don't really think it's anything at all. And if anything, I'll tell you one thing right now. I haven't been as disimpressed with WWE's the storylines since Hogan arrived at TNA.
I'm sorry. Say that again. You haven't been this impressed by the Fed storylines.
I have not been this impressed by WWE storylines in a while since Hogan arrived at TNA, meaning that Vince stepped it up a notch and he went within his product to step it up a notch and not take any low blows.
That's questionable, but I'll ask you this. I know that you said that you've missed a couple of episodes. Did you see either last week's or last night's TNA Impact?
I did. And what did I miss? Because I was watching it while doing some other stuff.
Well, pretty much last night, what you missed was, let's see, you missed an awesome promo between Mr. Anderson and the Pope Daniel De Niro. That was probably the best segment of the night. You missed AJ Styles and Sting going up against Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. You saw
I caught bits and pieces of it. I saw Sting one on the stairwell with Pin Jarrett, and the Pope. He's one that McMahon let slip by because he's awesome.
Yeah, I see a lot of potential in him. The gimmick itself is a little questionable, but I will hand it to him that the crowd is very solidly behind him even after his loss to AJ at Lockdown. And now, dude, I gotta ask you, what do you think of RVD being the TNA champion? Do you think that RVD will single-handedly or at least be a big part of TNA making a surge, last night's rating excluded, to actually becoming solid competition for WWE?
I think they're a very far away from that right now. I don't think they're. I mean, and like I said, the first couple episodes, the first Monday night, I thought was awesome. The first couple episodes after that, I thought was the best wrestling I had seen in a while. The thing about it is that you have, you know, you're putting Flair in the ring against Abyss. Not for nothing, but how can you not? How can you get away from the stereotype of being the WCW 2.0 or this and that if you're going to put guys like Hogan back in the ring and guys like Flair back in the ring? And it's just kind of like you got so much talent in TNA and you have so much to work with. Why are these guys even being put in the storyline as far as being in the ring as in-ring competitors? You know, I understand, the crowd loves it, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? If I was in the live arena and I saw them in the ring, I'd be screaming too. Because you know what? It's a part of history to be in the building where you see them performing in the ring. I'm watching it on TV. It's not looking so good.
I 100% agree, but let me ask you this. Who would you rather see in a match on TNA these days? Ric Flair or the Nasty Boys? Just think about that.
Oh,
weigh
I'm not,
the options.
I, oh, no, 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 Rick Flair. I will give you your answer, but I'm not comparing two. I'm not comparing two guys that two names that are over the hill. I'm comparing. I'm comparing Ric Flair and top talent that TNA has to offer, and it's just like, you know, I don't understand why they're even putting him in the, I mean, yeah, it was a good thing, the ring, but you know what? They could have done that whole thing with his ring being on the line with somebody else wrestling for Ric Flair that's part of Team Flair. Okay, Abyss versus Desmond Wolfe, and if Desmond Wolfe doesn't win, Flair loses his ring. It's just like that. That would have, that storyline with the ring could have happened without Flair getting in the ring.
That is true, and I once again I completely agree. But TNA's just go on ahead, man.
No, that's fine. I mean, and you're getting all this from someone that actually likes TNA. I love TNA. I can't wait to see TNA. I love to watch entertaining wrestling. And one thing TNA's got going for them is that they are not PG rated and they don't care to be PG rated. And I think that's one of their main things they got going is that. But I've come to the realization that McMahon, like you said, is all about making money. Obviously, we don't get into stuff. We get into business to make money. Okay, obviously you have to have a passion for something to do it off the get go. But we get the main reason we get into to make a living, and the thing about it is that McMahon has turned his viewers in the last 10 years. McMahon's viewers right now, he half of them have gone, and a new breed have come in because he has a product now that he can present to families and present to kids. I mean, I looked at it from that standpoint when I sat and watched WrestleMania with a 9-year-old, okay? And I saw that 9-year-old going nuts over all this stuff that I thought was just whack, but I'm like, wait a minute, this is it. This is what's happening over here. Like, he's bringing it back to the mid-80s where it was a children's program.
Todd, you have anything to add?
No, I think that's a very good point, you know, and I think personally that's a smart move for TNA. You know, I'm not a big TNA fan at all. God's honest truth, I'm not. I don't watch it. I can't watch it. But I think if, for them to compete, they got to go after that age group of 18 to 35. And, you know, I think that Vince McMahon is probably going towards the younger generation now because of, you know, like, you know, his like the way that he's perceived now, you know, is, you know, he's like, he's not a good guy, you know, he's a cutthroat businessman and all sort of things. So I think that's a smart move on their part to try to reestablish their image, but I think that's a great move that TNA is taking as going after the older fans and viewers.
I mean, I'm excited for TNA. I really am. And unless I'm telling, like, what I'm curious now is that, did either of you guys watch TNA last night?
I watched it, though.
Okay. One part that made me have a light bulb was when Nash and Hall said that they're going to show up with somebody else next week. And it just made me feel like Hall and Nash, when they showed up on Nitro and said, our third guy is coming, you know? And so I'm just sitting here like, well, I'm wondering if they're actually gonna pull something out of the hat. But what could it be?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that TNA could do at this point, though. I mean, I'm not sure what it's gonna take to really become competition to the WWE because they've pulled out all the stops. They've had multiple people debut: Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, Sting has come back, Hogan. All of these new people have come in, and no matter who they bring in, it'll either be a tremendous letdown or it'll be somebody awesome, but the creative team will find some way to drop the ball there. And that plus, I don't want to see the band on my TV screen again. So I don't know what potential good can come of this, but Jimmy, I hate to cut you short, but we have two more callers on the line. Do you have anything else quickly before you go?
Nah, man, it was great talking to you guys, and you know, hopefully I'll remember to call in next week.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Bye, buddy. Take care.
Yeah.
That was Jimmy Z right there. CircusInYourMouth.com. That's CircusInYourMouth.com for, you know, to check out what's going on there at Jimmy Z's. Home of the Garbage Plate, which you got a crash course on last week from the show that I listened to last week.
He also sent me the website, and whenever I come up there for the wedding, he said that I am, he's going to treat me to one. So I'm kind of excited, but I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, that is kind of like a heart attack that's waiting to happen, man. I mean, it sounds good, it's just a lot of food, but, you know, you got to live once, so, you know, I guess I'm willing to try it. All right, we have one more caller here from the 951 area code. I believe that's out from California. Caller, can you state your name and where you're from?
This is like Degenerate John. What's up, dude?
What's going on, John? What's happening?
Hello, Dee Dee.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Dee Dee. How are you guys doing tonight? These two are from Steel Cage Radio. You can check these guys out, steelcageradio.com. They have a tremendous show.
Well, thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
I just don't want to be like some other person with a video who thinks he's full of himself. Maybe we should do that, right?
Yeah.
Be nice.
I'm perfect. I have the best audio editing in SoCal. What are you talking about? No, sorry.
You're being so mean.
I know. I'm such a dick, but oh well. So what's up, Kyle?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Hey, so, you know, we're just here talking a little TNA and WWE. I know that's not exactly you guys' beat. You normally cover the independents, especially out here in Southern California, including the West Coast Wrestling Company, and they had a show over the weekend, right?
Oh, yes, man. A good, crazy show. Attendance could have been better. You know, I'm still kind of pissed off, but you'll probably be hearing me ranting on the next podcast about that. But as far as the workers,
the quality of the show was
and the death match at the very end, that was pretty much the highlight. So it was awesome. Kyle Haystacks versus Matt Twisted. So, and then they got their asses beat by the guys from Violence Unlimited. So good times, a lot of blood.
Nice. So, I mean, that was the last show at Arena Sports, right? I mean, has Adam said anything about when the next show is going to be or where it's going to be?
Tentatively, we're still looking for a different venue. You know, I'm part of that search team, so we were looking different locations. But all I got to say is definitely check out, you know, either steelcageradio.com. We'll be announcing it, or I'm also the webmaster for the West Coast Wrestling Company.com, so there'll be more information about that. But there's some pretty good prospects trying to get out of where we're at right now and just, you know, to have a bigger show. So
nice. All right, so for you people that are loyal listeners of the Atomic Drop Show, why don't you guys tell the people what they can expect from your show? Like, what do you guys normally cover?
Well, basically, what
him being stupid, usually. That's usually what's happening. Him going to wrestling school and busting himself up, and then the rest of us ragging on him about it. That's what they can expect.
Fuck you.
Yeah, how's the wrestling school coming, and how's that going anyway?
Fill him in. If you've not heard our last show, Adam and I razzed him pretty hard. He went to wrestling school with a very bad attitude and a very sore rib because he busted his rib or something. And so
hairline fractured the rib.
So all that, three days of wrestling school, and he's already
off
the sidelines.
So that's how well it's going.
They can expect to hear us talking about what? Indie news, results of indie shows. They can expect to hear us do our segment called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Professional Wrestling on TV, where we do cover some WWE and TNA.
But we enjoy pretty much busting balls, especially WWE. You know what? To be quite honest, we've gotten very spoiled promoting and being part of the indie scene that, you know, watching WWE, Adam and I, not that long ago, went to go see Raw in San Diego, and it just, for me, it didn't do shit to me. It didn't do anything. I felt nothing. I felt desensitized. It was weird.
What do you feel is the greatest difference between a, as you say, a sanitized WWE show and an independent wrestling show like the West Coast Wrestling Company?
Well, just like, you know, like I said, West Coast Wrestling Company, I could also mention Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG. I mean,
yeah.
It's just the fact that you're so up close, you feel like you're part of something. It's kind of like very an exclusive club. And, you know,
there's an intimacy about it, too, when the wrestlers look to you after you've said something and they respond to you. And then, you know, you feel like you're part of the show, I think.
That's a very, very good point. You know what?
Go ahead. Sorry,
Kyle. No. I mean, I normally work during the weekend, so I don't really get I don't get too many chances to go out to much too many indie shows. But the actually the last one I went to was at Wrestle Reunion, where I went both nights and I saw Ring of Honor and PWG. And the guys, especially at PWG, that experience, I sat, I think it was like the third row back, and just like you said, they're so close, and you really get involved, and you really do feel part of the show, and that's something that cannot be duplicated at a WWE show or even at a TNA show. So definitely go out and support the indie companies wherever you are, whether you're in SoCal or all over, just support indie wrestling, because that's, you know, you never know. The people that you see on the indie shows might be the same guys that you might see on a WWE or TNA a few years from now, and they go out every single night and bust their ass, and they do amazing work. So I'm glad that your show lends support to the guys and the girls on the indie scene, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, yeah, so that's what, and we do. And then we now have a new segment where we basically take audio clips from a lot of the WWE and TNA shows, and I just bleep it, you know, but it's inspired by Jimmy Kimmel. So I like to goof on the big guys. I mean, you know, like I said, I'd rather watch indie, or if not, I prefer watching ROH, to be quite frank. But TNA, I call it WCW Light. But, you know, it's an alternative, I suppose. WWE, I can't get into it. I watch the storylines, and Vince McMahon's just putting a shitty product. I guess he's that arrogant that he doesn't think that he has to prove that he's number one like he did back in the late 90s when there was all the competition from WCW. And then at one point, ECW was even kind of making a name for themselves. So, I don't know.
That's very, very true. Now, I know that you are a big ECW fan. I correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw it was a post on our MySpace just a few days ago that coming soon would be Jerry Lynn. What's the status on that?
He forgot to call him, if you can believe that. He forgot.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did. Well, no, you know what?
Yes. That's why I have to bash him on the show, because sometimes he's retarded.
Okay, yes, I just talked to Jerry Lynn.
I forgot. I'm forgetting the call while COVID.
I know. And people wonder if we actually really banter like this on our podcast. This is like a daily occurrence. So no, this is real. But, yes, I was supposed to call him, but...
it slipped his mind or something.
You know what? I had a lot of stuff on my mind, especially getting ready for this West Coast... Shut up, puta. West Coast Wrestling Company show, because I do the audio for those guys and also now do the ring announcement. So there was a lot going on, and I just simply forgot. So I'm just going to give him a call tomorrow and just tell him the truth. And
he still haven't called?
Oh,
he still hasn't even called. He told him the 20th, and this is the 27th?
Oh, shut up. Oh
my God. You do not respect somebody like that. Good heavens.
All right, guys.
I was arguing for an hour.
Nice. Well, you guys, once again, have a great show. When can we expect another edition of Steel Cage Radio?
Actually, there's a funny one that we're doing. We have one that I'm actually mastering right now and finishing the editing.
It's It's a best of.
It's a best of from 10 years ago, believe it or not. We've been around for a long time. We took a long break. It was that one XPW show, the 10th year anniversary, that made us decide to come back and do this now that I have a recording studio and all. So this is pretty raw, recording October 4th, 2000, and it's pretty funny to hear that. And on that one episode of that podcast, there's also an interview by Mr. California, I think his name was, from XWW. And nice. And then so that will be out in about a couple days from today, and then by next weekend we will have the West Coast Wrestling Company review and us once again bashing WWE and TNA and making fun of it. So
cool. Hey, guys, we got to wrap things up because we
actually
– all right, guys, take care, all right?
Thank you.
All right, guys, you take care, bro.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, man. Bye now.
All right. Degenerate John and Didi from Steel Cage Radio. You can check those guys out at steelcageradio.com. We have one more call to fit in, and who else will it be except our super fan, Dakaris? Dakaris, how's it going tonight, buddy?
Oh, I'm going great. Welcome back, Kyle.
Thank you very much. It feels great to be back, man. It feels great.
I see that.
So what you got for us, man? We got, about 2 minutes, man? So what you got for us, brother?
Oh, 2 minutes. I just wanted to say how I thought the draft last night, they could have had more picks instead of just ate the whole 3 hours.
No? Yeah, that is true. And let me run down the rest of the Raw picks. We had John Morrison, R-Truth, Edge, and Chris Jericho going to Raw. Do you think that any four of those guys will make a huge impact on the huge deep talent roster that Raw has right now?
I see Edge already right now after last night getting involved in that triple threat match.
Yeah. All right. Did you watch any TNA at all?
Oh yeah, I watched it earlier today on YouTube.
And what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was a great show. Great. It was amazing. And like you said, I agree with what you said about the Pope and Anderson. Those two, oh my God, those two are best on the mic right now. Those two.
Yeah, man. You know, those two can deliver like a couple of money promos, and I know that De Niro has a legitimate injury. I'm not sure what the extent of that is. I still believe that those two will collide at Sacrifice in just a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to the build to that feud and the actual match itself. But Dakaris, man, I'm so sorry that we got you in so late. We ran a little bit long. I'm so sorry, but we got to let you go. But before we do, I think we need to hear a word from the Celtic Warrior, Sheamus.
Yes, we do. Let's hear it, buddy.
All right. This past Sunday at Extreme Rules, I proved to the world that the Celtic Warrior bows to no king.
That is awesome, dude.
You guys have been saying this every time I've been on the show, and I said this on my show when you called in. You are without a doubt my hero, my friend.
Thank you. I'm glad to be your hero.
Oh, dude, you gotta show me how to do these impressions, man. Dude, all I could do is a lame Obama, man. You need to teach me how to do a Sheamus impression, because I can't do it for the life of you, man.
You know, like I said, I just think Irish, man. Just that's how I do it. I mean,
you have to be in the zone, don't you?
I guess so, man. Hey, Dakaris, dude. Call back next week, all right? Just call back in. We will have you first on the line, okay?
All right, thank you. All right. And Todd, you'll hear from me this Thursday, too.
All right, buddy. Hey, make sure you make a list. I announced it on this show, top 10 wrestling territories. I want a list, buddy, and I want you to back it up. I will question you.
Oh, top 10 wrestling territories? Oh, okay.
All right. All right,
buddy. Take care,
man. All right, Cindy Cars. All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.
See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, super fan Nikar is joining us for a little bit. I'm sorry that I had to cut him off, but, you know, we ran out of time. We had, like 5 callers, so it was a loaded show. Todd, thank you for joining me tonight. It was an amazing episode. We have to do this more often when Justin sits on us, man. I got to go, buddy. Todd, thanks a lot.
Man.
See you next week.
Thank you.